Hello, dear brothers and sisters. The following is a message by Brother Joseph and is a warning. Warn them of what is coming.
Luke 21:16. You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those who are in the midst of her depart. And let not those who are in the country enter her. For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe to those who are pregnant, and to those who are nursing babies in those days. For there will be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they will fall by the edge of the sword, and be led away captive in all nations. And Jerusalem will be trampled by Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth distress of nations, with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your heart be weighted down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. That was verse 36.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I feel from the Lord that we need to warn those around us while we're still on time, while there is still a possibility to warn. We need to warn the church where we go. We will need to warn the churches around us of what's happening, or what's about to happen. It's already beginning to happen. The world, there's nothing the world they can do. They try to stop this terrorist, they try to stop the other, but there is nothing, because all these terrorists is actually provoked by the same nations who are trying to stop them. America said to stop the terrorists, but they have started them. They have been harming the Syrian rebels, and now they complain that they became terrorists, they want to destroy America and the West, but America started all these things. So there is no way they can stop this. And the terrorists are threatened to spread, it was on the papers this morning, they are threatening to spread Ebola, which is a terrible sickness. They are threatening to spread it, particularly in America and England. It's some news from this morning. And these are people that they believe in fighting by committing suicide. Whereas the Americans, they believe in fighting just by flying around with planes, drinking Coca-Cola, arming the rebels here and arming the rebels there, let them fight for them while they are just giving money, giving weapons, and their enemies, these people, are using the same weapons that which they give to their supposed friends, and then they turn them around and use them against America. So it's like America is doomed to destruction, because they are fighting a mercenary war. They are afraid to go fight one-on-one on the field. They just want to fight from planes and dropping bombs. They go back to America, go eat hamburger and watch TV. Well, they're going to lose because that's not the way you win wars. These are guys that they commit suicides in order to destroy their enemies. Of course, they're going to bring some atomic bombs here and there and blow themselves up together with them. These guys are people who believe that when they die killing their enemies, they're going to go to heaven where there is a harem of virgins waiting for them, rivers of wine. They want to die, some of these guys. So there's no way America can win this. Now the atomic weapons are being spread around. There are bacteriological weapons which can be used. There are information that they are gathering these things to use them, and they will use them. So hell is coming.
That's amazing.
It's called the Great Tribulations.
Right. And actually reading this passage in Luke 21, we see so many of these things already are happening. And worse it's going to get. So what can we do?
We can warn the churches, who in turn should warn the world. But the churches are being poisoned by the devil's false doctrines. Sleep, sleep, says the devil. You're going to be raptured before tribulation. Sleep, sleep.
But it can be discouraging for the brethren. We tell them, go warn. And they go, maybe some of them, but people don't listen.
They're blind. They just, it's a repetition, just like in the days of Jeremiah, when he was warning them, Babylon is coming, they're going to destroy you all, enslave the rest. And they said, oh, you are false prophets. Our God can't protect us. Our God loves us. Our God has the power. Of course he has the power. But he's going to use his power to punish you, rebellious, idolatrous Jerusalem and Israel. And today is the same. Of course God can save the churches, but he's not going to, because he wants to purge the churches, punish the churches for their idolatrous and apostasy conditions.
With the purpose of purging it, you say?
With the purpose of purging and separating the goats from the sheep, the false Christian from the true Christian, the Philadelphia from the Laodicea, the virgin with oil from the virgin without oil. That's why God is sending the Antichrist. Who do you think? Who do you think has permission? The Antichrist, where does he get permission to come? From the devil? No. No. The devil would have sent the Antichrist thousands of years ago. He can't. The Holy Spirit has been stopping that. But at the end time, it says in 2 Thessalonians 2, the Holy Spirit will be taken away and the Antichrist will flood in as a punishment against an apostatic church in total apostasy. I mean, 99.99. I enjoy the songs of Sunday morning, this and that, but those are such a sleepy lullaby. Singing about dying for Jesus, giving the heart to Jesus, this and that, but they will not obey. It's just a nice, beautiful theory that is being sang every Sunday morning, that they will not raise a finger.
It's true.
I want to say that we have been warning people for many years about these events that are coming upon us. And there are many Christians who do listen, who do realize that it's all true, it's all in the Bible. And some of them, they did respond, but they are so scarce and they are so spread all around the world. There is one here, one there. And even if they do wake up and they do receive the warning and want to prepare, how can they do it? What are they supposed to do being so alone in their area? It's not that they can get together being all scarce.
Well, the Lord is not expecting us to change the world, but only to be faithful wherever we are. If you belong to a church, you're supposed to go to the church and warn them, like Jeremiah did, like Jesus did. Every synagogue he went, he warned them.
It's quite a point you're saying. Still, the fact that we cannot change the world, it doesn't mean that we shouldn't do what we need to do. Because lots of people think, I cannot change the world, so, I mean, why should I go around warning and people will think that I'm, you know, out of it. But still, you're saying, even if you cannot change the world, still do your duty.
God's blessing and judgment and punishment will be given individually, no, from church to church. God's blessing and punishment, we're not divided by denominations. It's not this is for the Catholic, that's for the Protestant. It's an individual, single judgment.
That's true.
We see that there was a church in Revelation 3:1, which was worse than the worst church of today. It was the church of the living dead. It's called Sardis. Revelation 3:1. And Jesus said, even in you are dead, but even among your dead church, there is some who are alive, who will be dressed in white and walk with me, the bride of Christ.
So it's worth it.
It's worth it.
For so those few sheep that will listen.
We will not be able to change the world, and it's prophesied that the world will go to the into the hands of the Antichrist and the devil for 3.5 years until Jesus comes back. But what we can do, we can warn if we have a church where we go. Warn until they kick us out. Jesus, in every synagogue he went, and Paul, they went, and they warn them until they throw them out or try to kill them. That's our job.
Yes.
But besides warning our church where we go, if we have one, we should warn every church in the area that we possibly can.
Amen.
So that when the distraction comes, and it will come, they will know that there was a prophet among them, and that's the Holy Spirit in us.
Amen.
Amen. So yes, we need to warn and warn so that all the churches will know that when the distraction comes, they were warned, they rejected it. They cannot say, God, why didn't tell me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but if we don't warn them, God is going to punish us. And once we know, as soon as we get a hold of God's truth, go to Ezekiel 3, please. And Dora, would like to go to Ezekiel 33?
Yes.
It's like, as soon as we get a hold of our truth, if we don't give it, we become guilty as much as the disobedience. Ezekiel 3:17-19, what does it say?
Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul.
It is what he's saying here. We have to warn. Every man, every true man of God has to warn the wicked, the sleepy, the disobedient churches. We, one hand, we're supposed to give salvation to the lost, which there's nothing to warn about. They're lost and not going to believe anything. But you can give them salvation, and after that, you can warn them. But the churches who are already saved, most of them are, sadly not all, is really truly born again, but just falsely, religiously, then we need to warn them. Distraction is coming, and it's going to be against you. Because the number one that the Antichrist is going to fight against and destroy will be the church, besides a bunch of wars right and left.
So our job is to give the message, whether they receive it or not.
Yeah,
that's their responsibility.
That's exactly what God told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 1. Whether they hear or whether they reject, you warn them, because they are a mostly rebellious nations. They will not hear you because they don't hear me. Look, Ezekiel 33:1.
Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of your people, and say unto them, when I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coasts and set him for their watchman, if when he sees the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul.
Amen.
Amen.
So, that's it. So there is no pre-tribulation rapture. I mean, why didn't God send salvation to these Jews in Israel before the Babylonian came? Not talking about rapture, I'm talking about salvation. Why didn't he save them somehow? He didn't. He allowed Babylon to destroy them.
So but he's been warning them before,
so,
though.
Yeah, why in the world should God send a pre-tribulation rapture to save them for what? Since it's God's judgment against them.
Yes.
All right. If you see in Daniel 11, 31 to 35, he talks about that the tribulation, because that's what he talks
can we
about.
Read it?
Okay. Go ahead. So verse 31 is about the Antichrist putting the abomination of desolations, which Jesus said in Matthew 24:15 until 21. Jesus says, when you see this abomination, that will trigger the great tribulations. Because that's the abomination that Daniel talks in verse 30-31. As a consequence of that, you can start from 32.
Daniel 11:32. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits.
Okay, that's the bride of Christ, the 144,000. leading the active church, and besides the 144,000, also the teachers and the leaders, and those among us who prepare themselves by memorizing scripture, by learning how to evangelize, learning how to live with the mark of the beast, without money, how trusting in God. I've done it for many years. For 41 years serving the Lord, I never got a salary. The Lord taught me to live without salary. How? I pass the heart, miracles, all kinds of stuff.
You seek first the kingdom of God.
Seek first Jesus, and then if Jesus doesn't provide, he's a liar.
He's not.
Put the kingdom of God first, and then if that doesn't work, the Bible can throw it away. All right? Just challenge
God. It does work.
Challenge God. It says in Malachi 3, it says, bring me your tithe. It talking about tithe in there. It says, bring your tithe, and then see if I don't open the windows of heaven. God says, challenge me. In fact, he says, prove me. So you can prove God in every day. It's like a proof. Go preach the gospel. Go preach the gospel to the lost. Go seek the lost. And then if God doesn't provide, he's a liar.
But do your part.
But that's impossible. Because let every man be a liar, but God be true.
Amen.
All right. Like it says in Romans chapter 2. Okay, where are you reading something there?
Daniel 11:33. And they that understand among the people shall instruct many. Yet they shall fall by the sword and by the flame, by captivity and by spoil many days.
All right, so there shall be destruction and persecution, not just against the disobedient, sleepy Christians who will be killed like sleeping ducks on those church benches, but also against the martyrs who will evangelize. But the martyrs will die as heroes, and they will go to an everlasting reward and crown. But the sleepy Christian, they died as a coward. They died in a silly way. I mean, to die, to be killed by the devil while you are not busy evangelizing is to die like a... You're going to feel very silly. You're going to feel like wasting my life. I wasted my blood. I wasted my martyrdom. I got shot in the back while I was cowardly running away. They came in a church. I was there sitting like a sleeping duck, singing Sunday morning, threw a bomb and they killed us. We're praying. We're doing a building, worshiping a building. Go on the streets. If you get killed while you evangelizing the lost and giving salvation, wonderful. But if you get killed like a sleeping duck, singing like a singing parrot in a church, that you wasted your life, beloved.
34. Now when they shall fall, they shall be helped with a little help, but many shall cleave to them with flatteries. And some of them of understanding shall fall, to try them, and to purge them, and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed.
Understand? So until the time of the end, there is no tribulation on salvation, beloved. There never was, never in the Bible. God didn't save the church from persecution. He helped me to die valiantly. God didn't save Christ from the Calvary. He was there with him. God didn't save the martyrs from death. He was there with them. Okay? So, praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. So, look, why don't you go to Matthew 24:7.
Matthew 24:7. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places.
Verse 10.
And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another.
Okay, 22.
And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened.
Will be shortened to 3.5 years.
Thank you, Jesus.
All right, so it's coming. So don't be surprised about what the Muslims are doing to the Christians, chopping off heads. It's like they enjoy that. They think they go to Allah and get virgins in exchange for chopping off heads. And this is not what's going on. It's like they have no conscience, those guys. They believe in their religion. All right, so that's what's coming. Jesus warned, it's useless to pray, God, stop the Antichrist. God, stop tribulation. Mm-hmm. God, stop the killing.
It's prophesied
in Revelation 12:14, it says, the woman flees into the wilderness and hides. The protection of God is hiding, is not stopping the devil. God will not stop the devil. God will send the devil.
Like you showed to purge the church.
To purge the church, exactly. To punish, to chastise, to divide the sheep from the goats, the false Christian from the true Christian, the truly born again from the falsely born again, to divide Laodicea from Philadelphia.
Because, you know, it comes to me right now, if he prepares a bride, he wants a pure bride, a true bride. So he's going to send them to divide, to see who's the true bride. He doesn't want to rapture in heaven somebody who's half a heart.
No, all the Christians will be raptured, even half a heart.
Yeah, the bride, I mean.
Rapture is for all the saved.
Yes, but the bride of
the ones who are not saved are going to be the falsely born again. The Christians was only born again in a religion, but not in Jesus. All right. Look, if you read, for example, go to Luke 27 until 31. It's like people think, oh, God loves us so much, he doesn't want us to go to tribulation. You're wrong. You are wrong. Never there was a tribulation in the Bible, never, that God didn't allow his people to go through. Mm-hmm. Because whenever there was a tribulation, persecution, it was God's will, in the sense he allowed it. Yeah, brought by the devil, but God allowed it. They were prisoner in Egypt. Yeah, but it was God who told Abraham, they shall be prisoner for 100 years.
Yes, but he promised to go through it with us if we are faithful and obedient.
Exactly. But you see, God was there with Joseph and helped him in Egypt.
Yes.
Okay, but then the hard heads, they didn't repent. They went through tribulation. They died in the wilderness.
Yes.
The early church, they went through 300 years of persecution. But why? Well, if you read the Revelation chapter 2 and 3, the church were cooling down, forgetting the first love. They were the church of the living dead. Sardis, Revelation 3:1. There was a vomiting church, Revelation 3:14. I mean, the church was becoming weird. So God had to send persecution after persecution to purge them. I mean, seven churches in the book of Revelation, the seven churches of Revelation, chapter 2 and 3, there was only one who passed the test. Philadelphia, one. And six churches, they didn't pass any test yet. Some of them were ready for the garbage. Some of them were already buried. seven churches, there was one who passed the test, Philadelphia. Smyrna, good church, but they didn't pass the test. Smyrna, Revelation 2:10, you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death. It was not tried yet. Did they pass it? I don't know. We see in heaven they passed it. So, do you have a...
Luke 23.
Yeah.
27 to 31.
Yes.
And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus turning unto them said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming, in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, Cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?
You understand? So Jesus is saying, it's like saying, don't hope, don't trust, don't believe in your false pastors, because not all pastors are true. Some are true, a lot are false. Preaching a false Christ. A Christ that it makes you lose your salvation. A Christ that raptures you before tribulation. You know, these false teachers are deceiving. Jesus says, don't trust in them. Okay, trust in me. The Bible, the gospel says, if this is done to the green tree, look, Calvary, what is going to be done to the dry tree? Tribulation is coming.
In other words, to the false Christians.
Yeah, to the false Christians. Okay, the true Christians, they're going to die as martyrs, but they will love to die as martyrs.
Amen.
It'll be tough, it'll be a Gethsemane. You'll cry up for God's help, like Jesus did in the Gethsemane. It's not going to be easy. It's easier to preach it than to do it. Yeah, if I had to die today in a Calvary, I don't know if I would be ready. Nevertheless,
yes, well,
I will be more ready than somebody who's cowardly running away, being shot in the back.
We did hear so many testimonies of true Christians who are in this kind of situations, and they had amazing experiences with Jesus. Jesus was there with them, and they had this light, or they had this feeling, they saw Jesus, and they went through so victoriously. So in those moments, Jesus is more real than ever for you.
Yeah, he's like Stephen in Acts chapter 7. He was preaching a good message. Then he rebuked them. And after that, he was willing to die. They started to kill him. The stones were flying. And only then that Jesus appeared. And he said, I see the Son of Man in heaven standing by at the right hand of the throne of God. And he died saying, God, Father, forgive them. But before Jesus appeared to him, he had to be willing to keep preaching, keep evangelizing, keep offering salvation and repentance until they began to kill him. So this is the test of faith.
Yes.
You know, I believe every one of those martyrs who got burned on the stake, I believe that they were suffering just like anybody else. But as soon as the flesh was burning and melting, I'm sure Jesus was there to make it not too hard.
Amen.
I'm sure. Because I wouldn't be able to be burned alive.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it says in the Bible, in 1 Corinthians 10, 13, it says there is no temptation against us except that God will make a way to escape.
Amen.
Okay, it's never too difficult.
Amen.
In fact, Jesus on the cross did not suffer like somebody without God. In fact, there was a time that God separated from him for briefly, and he said, Father, why did you forsake me? Because God was there supporting him. Why did God separate? Because he had to die as an unsaved.
Wow.
This is so. It's like it's not. It will be hard, beloved, but it will not be too hard.
So God was there with him.
Yes,
with Jesus.
God was there with him, and so it will be hard. It will be difficult. Some of us will be burned, killed by the sword, shot, beheaded. It will be, but it will not be too hard. What's going to be hard is Revelation 15 and 16, the wrath of God against the mark of the beast people.
Yes.
It is Revelation 17 and 18, Revelation 19, Armageddon. That's going to be hard. Amen.
Yes. Amen.
And another point I want to talk about, we need to warn, all right, the Christians, that there will be a great surprise. Like many Christians will be surprised. There will be a great amazement, a surprise among the sleepy Christian when destruction comes. Why? Because only then they will realize that the pastors betrayed them, they deceived them, told them, don't worry, we're going to be raptured. Instead of being raptured, the tribulation starts, the mark of the beast begins, the children are going to be beheaded or killed or whatever, or the children are going to receive the mark of the beast by law, and there's nothing they can do. The time will come when, like it says in Matthew 24:15, that they will not have time to go back home and pick up their jacket or pick up the baby or their wives.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to run like cowards, betraying their wives and the children. Goodbye. I'm running to the mountains to save myself, because even if I come back, I will only die with you. So these guys are going to, imagine the scene.
It's going to be confusion. Imagine
the scene. Millions of Christians. I mean, in Iraq, there were thousands of Christians that in 24 hours they had to pack
forsake all
and run. When they arrived at the border, they took away the gold, because they were taxing them because for not being Muslim. And some of them killed on the way. And they took away the belongings. And they're going to feel like, where is God? Because their priest, their pastor, their false prophets never told them that this was going to happen. I'm telling you, not me, the Holy Spirit. It's going to happen. It's already happened. It's happening and will happen, only 1,000 times much worse. So these people are going to feel betrayed.
Yes.
By the pastors. They're going to feel abandoned by God, because where is God? My pastor told me that God loves me.
Mm-hmm.
My pastor told me that God is love, that God is more powerful than the devil. Why doesn't he stop the Antichrist? Well, he will not stop the Antichrist.
They'll feel brokenhearted.
You understand? They're going to feel forsaken by God when they see the children beheaded like it happened in Iraq. So are you going to convert to Muhammad or no? Well, no. Bang. Cut the head of the baby in front of them. Some of them actually converted to Muhammad to save their lives. Wrong. Me and my children, let us die for Jesus. Look, go to Proverbs 1.
Yes. Proverbs 1.
Yeah. Like as soon as they will be treated by the Antichrist, just like these Christians have been treated, persecuted and killed by those Muslims in the Middle East, Iraq, Syria, worse is going to get. If you don't trust America, England, Australia, going to bomb them, that's going to peanuts. That's not. They can stop a group of so-called terrorists over here. There's another two groups who start somewhere else.
Yes, it's true.
It's like the Titanic of the Western world is sinking. They can stop some water coming over here. More water will come on the other side. You understand? There's no way around it. Mm-hmm. So here is some of the saddest, the most terrible scripture in the Bible. I'm going to read it to you right now. The Lord gave it to me this morning.
Okay.
I'm giving it to you now. And this is the picture of Christianity during the Great Tribulation, when their false pastors are going to be either dead because they were killed because the doctrine was wrong and killed unnecessarily too early, or they will receive the mark of the beast. Like there is this false prophet guy in America, John MacArthur, he's telling his congregation, Calvinist, receive the mark of the beast, don't worry, repent afterwards. A liar.
Mm-hmm.
Guy is a liar 100%. You cannot repent. You can see Revelation 16 that says that God's pours his wrath on the people with the mark of the beast. Did they repent? No. He said they repented not, but they blaspheme God instead. So the guy's a liar. So read the Proverbs 1:24.
Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel and would not have none of my rebukes.
Okay, so God is calling right now the Christians, but they are not listening.
Yes.
Holy Spirit is calling now, not just through me, through others too.
26.
And not many around, but very few are calling. But they are not listening. They prefer the sugary sermons of their false prophets. 2 Timothy 4. What is it? 2 Timothy 4:3, I think, where it says, they choose the preachers that will preach to them, they tickle the ears, they preach sugary sermons that will allow them to worship TV, worship jobs, worship their house, worship their car, worship their flesh family instead of God's eternal family, who is my mother, who are my brethren, they that do God's will. Amen. Verse 28, go ahead and make it short.
Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would have none of my counsel and despised my every rebuke. Therefore they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whosoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Amen.
Wow.
See, read the 24 again.
Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one regarded.
That's what's happening today. Boy, you know, I preach in so many churches and a lot of them, you girls, were with me translating in Eastern Europe.
Yes.
You were translating Hungarian, Romanian. We were in Serbia. We were in Poland. You were translating in Polish, too.
Yes.
You were translating in Hungarian, right?
Yes.
And did they listen?
No.
No.
They prefer their complacency, like it
well,
says here.
They were saying, yes, yes, yes. It's Bible, it's Scripture, yes. But they did they change?
No.
Hardly. They didn't change. So that's what it says in verse 24. Because I've called and you refused, I stretched out my hands and no one regarded. All right? Then they will call upon me, verse 28, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me. Go to Amos 8:11.
Amos 8:11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord.
12.
They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it.
Is that what's happening?
So that's sad.
They're going to say, where is the God of Israel? Where is the God, the Christ of the Christian? Where is the salvation of God? Where is the God of Elijah? He's not going to be around. Why? Because he's here now. He's telling you now. The storm is coming. Now is the time to hide. Now is the time to prepare. Now is the time to sell your house and move. Now is the time to move as soon as possible. Don't wait until you enjoy sin a little longer. Until you enjoy the prostitute Babylon a little longer. Until you enjoy your TV a little longer. Your cup of coffee, your Coca-Cola, your hamburger a little longer.
Yes.
Your church bench a little longer.
Amen.
Now is the time to force a call, sell everything and move. Move where? Wherever God tells you. People write to me, Brother Joseph, where shall I go? I said, I don't know. It was God. Should I come where you are? Ask God. Can I stay here? No. If you're in the West, no. Why? Because Jesus said, flee. All right, Jesus said, flee. In Matthew 24, 15, 16, he said, flee. In Revelation 12, 14, what does it say? The church?
Fled to the wilderness.
The woman, which is the church, right?
Yes.
The bride of Christ, in fact.
Fled to
so
the
it
wilderness.
Says the woman?
Fled to the wilderness.
Fled. Wait a second. Is not? Couldn't God call her to stay where she is? I'm talking about the West, okay?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Talking about, couldn't God call her to stay where she is? No, he said the woman fled.
Mm-hmm.
If he's fled, they fled.
So somewhere she has to flee.
Yes.
And if some brethren don't have the possibility to flee?
Then they should find a refuge where they are. But only in case they cannot flee somewhere else. Where God tells them. They cannot flee. Well, like for example, some unwise brethren allow themselves to be buried with the under debt. So then you should sell everything. Sell your golden tooth. Go scrub floors, shine shoes, sell your wig, and move. If you still don't make it, declare bankruptcy and move. If you still don't make it, find a mountain, a place of refuge.
There where you are.
Wherever you are.
Amen.
In other words, prepare still.
Yeah,
wherever you
just
are,
just find a place where you can hide.
So you will not arrive at the moment, like you said, that you're going to think you're abandoned by God, your pastor told you the rapture is coming and it didn't come, and then you will be so discouraged that maybe some of these brethren will actually deny their faith.
A lot of them will. Some of them are denying their faith right now.
Oh Lord, help us.
See, when the tribulation exploded in Iraq, that those Muslim butchers showed up with the swords, Mohammed or your neck goes. Some of them became Muslims.
Oh,
they were not prepared. They betrayed.
Lord, help us.
And the same way, some Christians will take the mark of the beast. They don't have the courage to die for Jesus tomorrow. They don't have the courage to live for Jesus today.
Mm-hmm.
How can you die tomorrow if you can't even live today?
Yes, it's true. It's true.
Today it's easy to serve the Lord. I promise. I've done it for many years, and you have too, girls.
Yes.
And it's wonderful. It's the most beautiful
it's
life
the
in the world.
Best thing to do in your
My
life.
My children are growing here, Amen. Reading the Bible, instead of worshiping the devil on video games and TV, and they're going to some Antichrist
yes,
schools
Amen.
To learn that I'm not their father, but the father is a monkey. Amen.
Amen.
So it's a wonderful life.
It's the best.
So why this guy think that sitting in church and doing nothing is better? Because they're deceived by the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move out back to the TV, back to the hamburger, back to the Coca-Cola, back to their pornography, back to their garbage, and they call themselves Christians.
You know, it's strong words, but it's true. It is very true.
The sad thing is that all these guys are sincere. I've seen them singing in church. They're sincere. They cry. They pull their hair almost. They almost roll on the floor in tears. But you know what? They're sincerely deceived.
Yes.
And that's why your message that the Lord gave you is to warn them.
Yeah. Yes.
So they will not be deceived. So at least they have a chance to hear the truth.
Yes. Yes. Amen. 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 So also another warning the Lord gave me for them is about the two judgments are coming. There is one, the white throne judgment for the unsaved. Or the false Christians, and one is the judgment of Christ that's coming. Look, in the judgment, the word through judgment, we know is Revelation 20. People don't pass that, they go to the lake of fire. And then there is another judgment for the Christians, 2 Corinthians 5. Can you read that? And also, Angie, if you can get Daniel 12, 2 and 3. So 2 Corinthians 5, 10. You have it there?
Yes.
Thank you.
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to what he had done, whether it be good or bad.
So this doctrine that we're under grace and therefore in heaven is going to be only ice cream is false. In heaven there's going to be a stick waiting. A stick. You can read the Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Oh boy. Seven churches and they're spanking to the right and spanking to the left. There's only one church that passed the test. What's the test? Well, Revelation 2:10 says you should be faithful unto death and I give you a crown of life. Faith passing the test means be faithful unto death. There are still people here trying to save money, jobs, houses. You have to be willing to die, beloved. Hmm. So Daniel 12:2-3. Look at what's going to happen at the rapture. He's talking about the rapture and the resurrection here.
And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Revelation chapter 2. Okay, one more warning. It's a we are supposed to, and everyone listening, right? Everyone listening, listen careful. This is not just for me. This is for you. Okay, we need to warn the churches around us. We need to warn the Christians around us. This is mostly a message for the Christian getting today. They will be, the Lord is saying, they will be. It's going to happen that some Christians today are going to end up like Christian, like virgin without oil, except they repent and do better works. Okay, many of the Christians today sitting around growing mushrooms in churches, in the church benches, they're going to be, a lot of them are going to be virgins without oil. Like, look, read the Revelation 2:5.
Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent.
Okay, he's talking to a church here.
What does he mean, remove your candlestick?
That means just persecution against the church, and the church has been wiped out. Like the church is the light, the candlestick, Revelation 2 and 3 represents the churches.
Okay.
Removing the candlestick, okay? Removing the candlestick means to remove the church. In other words, close down. Mm-hmm. Wow. See, those churches in Iraq that got destroyed and closed down, because they were not given light. They were just sitting there enjoying Jesus, enjoying salvation. Oh, we are saved. Oh, amen. We're going to heaven. Amen. Easy life for the Christian. God loves us. Amen. Eat and drink. We're going to heaven. Amen. Mm-hmm. Read the Bible. Easy life. We are saved. Amen. We are under grace. Amen. The Muslim came and chopped off their heads. And Jesus said, did you think that those guys who died under the Tower of Siloam were more sinners than that in Jerusalem? No. You shall all perish if you don't repent. Mm-hmm. You perish the same way. Do you think those Christians in Iraq were more sleepy and more out of the spirit, more Laodicean than most of the churches today? No. You shall all be destroyed the same if you don't repent and change and start bringing some Philadelphia works.
Amen.
Some fruits. Look, same chapter, 16.
Revelation 2:16. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth.
Gosh, can you imagine Jesus telling a church, I'm going to fight against you, church, with the sword of my mouth?
It's hard to imagine.
You see, this guy, I listen to the false preachers. So we're under grace, eat and drink, enjoy Jesus, enjoy the Bible, enjoy the Holy Spirit, enjoy your gift of thanks, enjoy your gift of healing, enjoy salvation. How nice. The devil is advancing everywhere over the world. And people are going to hell. Nobody is preaching the gospel to them. But I'm not called. I'm called to make money. Gospel of prosperity. Guess what? God didn't call me to evangelize the lost. God called me to have a nice car, to have money, to have a swimming pool, or at least a nice apartment, at least not a car, a beautiful bicycle. That's my call. I never heard a voice from heaven, go die for Jesus. Well, let me tell you. He called it 2,000 years ago from Calvary.
Amen.
You Laodiceans, you sleeping the church bench, God doesn't need to call you. He already has.
Yes.
In the gospel. The gospel is a great loudspeaker. It's a great place where God is calling everybody. That's why he said that when he was carrying the cross, those women were crying, say, "Daughter of Jerusalem, don't cry for me, cry for yourselves." Because if they do this to the green tree, what is going to happen to the dry? In other words, Jesus was green because it was active. The dry, the Christian, were no fruits. Okay, for the time will come, you say, "Mountain, fall on us. Lord, Lord, help us." Please read verse 29.
"He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches."
Wow. So who is he talking to?
To the churches.
Oh, he's not talking to the lost?
No.
No, all this warning, "I'll fight against you with a sword, and more." If you read the both chapters here, he's talking to the churches. Sleepy churches, disobedient, rebellious, who don't give the gospel to the lost. They're sitting there worshiping God every Sunday, just like the Pharisees doing the same thing. Where are your fruits? What are the fruits? Souls. Daniel 12:3, "They that turn many unto righteousness shall shine as stars forever and ever." Turning to the righteousness of the gospel of Jesus, to salvation.
I want to say that you mentioned earlier that our job is to warn them. And now is the time to warn them while we still can, because soon we won't be even able to do that. So as long as we warn them, in many of these churches there are brethren who will hear and will obey, because we ourselves know so many of them who actually got out of the churches and went on the streets and started evangelizing and stood up to their own pastors with the word in their hands, with the Bible. So it is worth it to go pay that price, to be put to shame, to be insulted, but give the truth to these churches, because there will be those who will listen. There will be.
There is always. That's why God wants us to go, like Ezekiel was told in chapter 3, verse 17, say, "Go, you are a watchman on the house of Israel." And now, who is Ezekiel? Oh, I'm not Ezekiel. My goodness, you are Jesus. You are the Spirit of Jesus. What do you mean you're not Ezekiel? Thank God you're not Ezekiel. The guy was in the Old Testament. We are in the New Testament here. We have Jesus, Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
We are more than Ezekiel. We have Jesus in our heart. Amen. Of course, he's supposed to warn everybody. Woe unto us if we don't.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, this guy's going to hell. I mean, some of these Christians are going to be vomited out, like Revelation 3:14 it says. And we don't warn them.
Yes.
I tell you, we're going to be vomited out too if you don't warn them.
Amen.
So let's tune in carefully, right?
Thank God.
The question now is, what to do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to repent and change. That's what we're supposed to do. Give me a scripture. Joel 2:12.
Joel 2:12. "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning."
He's talking to Israel, okay? Until 15.
"So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness. And he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, consecrate a feast, call a sacred assembly."
Man, Revelation chapter 2, Lord, give me a scripture, please.
Yes.
So in this time, God is calling to repent. If we repent and start following Jesus, bearing fruits, God will forgive, God will bless us, God will use us, God will open our eyes, God will take away the nets, the blinders from our eyes, the religious blinders.
Amen.
You know, the denominational, Catholic, Protestants, evangelical, blah, blah, Jehovah's Witness, all that stuff. And so we can be free in Jesus, above all this denominational garbage. Just follow Jesus, follow the gospel, follow what the Bible says.
Amen.
God is not a denominational God. God is not a sectarian God. He's the God of everyone, everywhere. Like Peter told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, he said, God hears everyone from all nations, no matter if you're Romans. I wonder that... Roman centurion, I wonder if he was a Pentecostal or Catholic. See how stupid this sectarianism is? Amen. So can you read verse 5, Revelation 2:5?
"Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto you quickly,
and will remove your candlestick out of his place, except you repent.
Wow, verse 7.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
So who is he talking to again?
The churches.
He's talking to us, verse 11.
Yes.
To him, shall I finish verse 7?
Yeah.
To him that overcomes, I will give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God.
So in this time, there's an overcoming to do. There is no talk about salvation here. He's talking to churches. And he's saying to the churches, you need to overcome. Why? Otherwise, you're going to be vomited out like the Laodiceans. Why? Those guys with the gospel prosperity of the yesterday, they were worshiping materialism. All right, do you have that?
11. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
All right, praise God. Talking to the churches. 17. Mm-hmm.
He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death.
Wow, there is even a second death in the churches. He's talking about the Christians who are not in the book of the Lamb, but they're just in the book of life.
So they're not saved?
They are saved, but they can be erased, like it says in verse 5, 3:5.
They're saved by Jesus?
In Revelation 3:5, there are two books.
Yes.
Okay, and one is the book of life, you can be erased. One is the book of the Lamb, you cannot be erased.
Yes.
Okay, read the verse 3:5, that's what it says.
He that overcomes, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
So when you're born, you're in the book of life, but depending on how you behave, you get erased, understand? So you can believe in Jesus to a degree, and if you don't really give your heart to Jesus completely, if you don't love the Lord, you're God with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength. In that case, then you are in the book of the Lamb. You are sealed. Ephesians 1:13. You are sealed with the seal of promise. Then when you are sealed, you are in the book of the Lamb. If you are not in the book of the Lamb, then you are just in the book of life. Like it says in this scripture, you can be raised. So there are two books. So those in the book of life can be raised. Those guys go to the white throne judgment. And then they'll be judged according to the white throne judgment rules. You can read the Revelation 20, verse 11 to 15. The book of the Lamb is different. Are the people who really, truly receive Jesus, and they show it by their works. It's really not difficult to see that. Just see people, see who is following Jesus, see who is following the world.
So you're saying that people who receive Jesus, they're in the book of the Lamb. And who didn't receive Jesus, just mentally maybe believed in Jesus, they're not saved by Jesus, they're in the book of life.
Well, I can tell you what the Bible says. In Revelation 3:5 says, if you don't overcome, you are erased from the book of life. But when you give yourself to Jesus completely, sincerely, and you show by your works, which works don't save you, but works show who you are. Your works are your visiting card. Okay, your works show if your faith is true or false. So when your works are truly works of Jesus, for example, the rich young guy, Mark chapter 10, what can I do to be saved, he asked. And Jesus said, they give all your money to the poor. He didn't do that. So it works show that he was not in the book of the Lamb. You follow? And so he could be raised. Okay, that's it. So that's all I can tell you. I can tell you what the Bible says, and then you can interpret it the way you like. So Revelation 3:5, you can be raised. Revelation 13:8, it says, if you are in the book of the Lamb, there's no way you can worship the Antichrist, no way you can lose salvation. It's like Jesus protects you with his hands. It's not your works anymore. It's the hands of Jesus that protect you. John 10:27 and 28, the hands of Jesus protect you. Romans 8:35-39, it's Jesus that protects you, because you gave yourself completely to Jesus, and your works will follow.
And a consequence.
Yes. The works don't save you, but they will show if you're saved.
Yes.
Understand?
Yes.
Please read the 17, Revelation 2:17.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
All right. So 26 until 29.
And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
Again to the church. He's talking to the churches. So the churches, I tell you, there is no time to go to sleep thinking I'm saved by grace. Okay, only if you're in the book of the Lamb, you can relax and say, no matter what. You can even deny Jesus three times, I suggest you don't. Like Peter, he's still saved. You can commit adultery with Bathsheba, I suggest you don't, because you get the stick on your head. But you keep salvation, like David. Because you're in the book of the Lamb, and the Spirit of God will bring you to repentance. But if you're not in the book of the Lamb, you're just in the book of life, right? Then you'll be judged at the white throat judgment. And then if you don't pass the judgment, you go to the lake of fire. If you pass it, you still don't go to heaven, because you are not in the book of the Lamb. You go to the new earth. So that's according to Revelation 20, verse 11 until 15. So as you see, the book of life, it's open after the millennium, Revelation 20, 11. So the book of the Lamb is open before the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 4 and 6. After 1,000 years is the book of life opened, Revelation 20, 11. All right, the book of life is open, and people are judged according to that. Yes. But these are not those saved in Christ. They don't go to heaven. They go to the new earth, next chapter, which is a place where people will need the healing by the leaves of the tree of life, Revelation 22:2, and 14 and 15.
Yes.
It's clear?
Yes. Just,
we already taught this
extensively.
I don't need to go back to that, right?
Yes.
So what are we supposed to do now that we know these things? Okay. We need to forsake the world and follow Jesus. Luke 14:25. Now, these are strong words, but this shows you the extent, like the separation from yourself from the world. Even if your family, for example, is like Lot's wife, that they are just fighting you tooth and nail, they want to follow you, absolutely should stay together. But if your family fights you, they don't want you to serve the Lord. For example, they are sleepy Christians, and they fight you. They want you to worship the same materialistic world. Then at this point, look at what a big separation there is here between you and your family. In this case, not talking about a family like mine and children, we all pushing for Jesus.
Amen.
We're talking about a family that they're actually pushing away from Jesus.
Yes.
Okay, Luke 14:25.
Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them,
26.
If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple.
You understand? It's in case of a family like Lot's wife, a family like Jesus' family.
That is tough.
You know, Jesus' family, you see in John 7, verse 5, I think, he says, no, even his brethren believed in him. Jesus' brethren didn't believe in him. Jesus said, no prophet is accepted in his own family. So when your family fights you, I want you to disconnect from Jesus, and maybe just connect to some dead religion or some sleepy Sunday morning religion. Say, I'm sorry, I love you and everything, but I don't forsake you, I don't leave you and everything, but I need to follow Jesus.
Well, why do you have to hate them?
Yes. And if they still fight you, then you're supposed to hate that. Understand? You don't hate their souls, you're still trying to give them salvation, mm-hmm. but you hate their spirit. You hate their deeds because the devil is using them. There was a time when the devil spoke through Peter, Matthew 16, and Jesus said, and Jesus rebuked the devil through Peter. Mm-hmm. Okay, and in that time, Jesus hated Peter.
So you hate the work of the devil that comes through them.
Hate the work of the devil through them.
Yes.
Them, they can always repent, like Jesus' brothers repented. For sure, James did. He became the bishop of Jerusalem. He wrote a wonderful epistle, the Epistle of James. Okay, so Jesus, for sure, was practicing what he was preaching. So when his brothers didn't believe in him, he hated them, their spirits. Mm-hmm. But he loved their souls, and when the time came, he gave them salvation. James.
Yes.
You follow?
Yes.
All right, 33:35.
Luke 14.
Yes, please. Thank you.
So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land nor for the dunghill, but men throw it away. Who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Okay, it's like it's unmistakable. You cannot make a mistake here. Jesus was very clearly saying, if your salt loses its saltiness, like a Christian gets saved, born again, for sure is saved, this and that, but he becomes deceived, Well, you're going to go to the... No, even if you're not even good for the dunghill, because dunghill, you can still fertilize the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not even good for garbage. So what happens, Jesus just vomits them out, Revelation 3:14. All right, and don't blame me. Say, you know, people say, Brother Joseph, you're too strong. I'm sorry, I gave you scripture. Go complain with God. All right, that's the truth, and that's the Bible, and all these false prophets preaching lies, preach tribulation, rapture, God loves us, so there is no hardships for us, no tribulation for us, only gospel of prosperity, money. The world is going to hell, let them go to hell. We say a couple of prayers Sunday morning, and the gospel of prosperity. You know, those guys are going to be vomited out. I mean, anybody, I mean, those guys don't even understand, they don't even understand the Bible. They just, they're putting their pastor above the Bible. They're following their pastors above God's word. You go with God's word, they don't listen to God's word. They only listen to a little bit of God's word that the false prophets are giving them. You go with the black and white, the gospel, I did it many times. They don't care. They say, yeah, it's written, but I need to ask my pastor first.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what kind of a zombie are you? Can't you read here? It's written in English. You read newspapers in English, you understand. You don't understand the Bible in English. What it says right here. All right, so where is it written? By the pre-tribulation rapture. Nowhere, but the pastor said. In fact, 99% of the pastors are deceived in this.
Yes.
They are preaching this. Just like the days of Jeremiah. Not 99%. 100% of the priests and the prophets and the pastors and the rabbis, they were all against God's spirit, against the truth, against the prophecy, and against Jeremiah. He was the only guy, the whole Israel. Everybody was saying, God is going to save us. Jeremiah said, no, God will destroy you. God is able to save us, yes, but he doesn't want to. God will stop Babylon? Yes, he can, but he's not going to. He's sending Babylon. God is not going to stop Babylon. God will send Babylon. God will not stop the Antichrist. He will send the Antichrist. Ezekiel 38, he said he put hooks in his mouth and drag him forcibly into Israel. He doesn't want to go, but God will drag him there. He knows how to invade Israel. God will drag the Antichrist and persecute the Christians. Why? To purge, to separate, to clean, to separate the foolish virgin from the wise, virgin with oil, virgin without oil. Philadelphian over here, Laodicea, vomiting over there. The tribulation will show who you are. You think you're Pentecostals, you think you're Baptists, you think you're Catholic. Oh, pleased to meet you. Let's see in tribulation, during the tribulation, who you really are. Let's say many of these Pentecostal and Catholic and company are going to receive the mark of the beast during tribulation. That will show who they really are. It says in, Jesus said to the seven churches, I said, I'll give you a stone with a new name. He that overcomes shall receive a white stone with a new name. In other words, you're not going to be anymore Pentecatholic or Cato-Pental or Baptist. No, you're going to be a new guy.
Even
Jesus will have a new name.
The Overcomer.
Maybe love. Maybe he's not going to be anymore the Son of Mary.
Yes.
You know this Medjugorje stuff. This is my son. Look, little baby here. I'll tell him what to do. Blah, blah, blah. He's not going to be that kind of stuff.
Amen.
He's God.
Yes.
He's the Word of God.
Amen.
He's one with the Father. He is the Father. He's the manifestation of the Father. In fact, his Word.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, help us. Our job then is to warn, and now is the time to warn.
It's time to warn. Warn them that a lot of the Christians sitting in churches, says the Lord, don't have oil in the lamps. Warn them that a lot of these Christians singing Sunday morning, they're not going to enter into the marriage chamber. Warn them they are foolish virgin. Warn them a lot of them will take the mark of the beast. Warn them a lot of them are going to be raised from the book of life. Revelation 3:5. Warn them, I'm going to be ashamed of a lot of them. Warn them, a lot of them have been deceived right now by the false prophets. Warn them to put my word, written in the Bible above the balonies of the preaching that the pastors of a lot of them false are preaching to them. Warn them that a lot of the pastors, they're just as Pharisees as the Pharisees of old. Warn them. A lot of the prophets, they're just like the prophets Jeremiah's day, false. Warn them and warn them. And God also says, I'm warning you. Is one in me speaking, is one in you listening, is one everyone here.
Yes.
Because my sword, says the Lord, is a double-edged sword. One side for the enemy, the other side for the church. It's a double-edged sword. I cut both ways. So watch out.
Amen.
Watch out. Even if we are virgin with oil, be careful. Be careful that we don't let our oil run out. Like those foolish virgin, we end up without oil.
In Jesus' name.
We have oil today, tomorrow the oil might run out, and we will not enter into the marriage chamber, Matthew 25.
Amen.
Warn them, and I'm warning you. God is warning me, He's warning me, and He's warning you. He's warning all of us. Tribulation is coming, and bring everybody on their knees. All these guys yelling, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're under grace, we are called to make money. My call is to make money. Too bad it's not in the gifts of the 1 Corinthians 12 gifts of the Spirit. Among the gifts of the Spirit, there is no making money. Sorry. That is a gift of the devil. You can see that in Luke 4, 5, and 6. The devil says to Jesus, I'll give you all this money, all these possessions.
Yes.
You know, money, abundance of money, it's a gift of the devil. So God is not against riches. He's only against this selfishness. Exactly. He's only what the false prophets are preaching. God is against the love of money, not money. How stupid. It's like saying God is against is not against the devil, just against loving the devil. It's the same stupidity. Of course God is against the love of money. And money, if money is not used for His glory. You can have as much money as you want, as long as you immediately give it to Jesus and keep for you the minimum indispensable that you need. Just keep what you need, maybe whatever. Keep 5%, keep 10%, keep the tithe. You know, is not unscriptural to keep the tithe. It's not unscriptural. You can keep the tithe as long as you give you 90%.
Understand? I keep the rest away.
Yeah, I mean, since I kept the tithe aside, God has been blessing me. I mean, I'll tell you, don't be selfish. Don't spend the tithe in your selfishness and then say, God, why do I have a cancer? Why I'm sick? Why I'm not blessed? Why I'm divorcing? Well, did you give God your tithe? Be faithful.
Amen.
And don't be stingy. The first creditor is God, and then the world. Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And first of all, give Him your heart, not the tithe, not 10% of your heart. Thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart.
In Jesus' name.
All your mind, all your strength, all your
might.
Everything.
Amen.
All your body, all your life, all your possessions.
Amen. Thank
Amen.
You,
Amen. Amen.
May
Amen.
The Lord help us.
Praise
not
the Lord.
Not to disappoint Him, not to Amen. Become lukewarm, but to become hotter and hotter every day.
Amen.
Jesus Amen. Name.
So let's get going, let's get busy.
And
let's
warn.
Repent, and let's warn.
Yes.
Warn them of what's coming. Warn them. Great destruction is coming.
Amen.
If they think, and if we think that the destruction around the world today is bad, wait until the Antichrist shows up and the tribulation starts. Wait until all these false prophets are all killed or marked with the 666, one or the other. And then you'll see. You'll see. Now is nothing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen.
Take a seat at the table, close to Jesus. You are able to hear His voice and revelation for your life. Set your heart on being closer. Keep your eyes upon the Master. He'll meet you in the secret place and talk to you. Hungry more of you, Jesus. Hungry for more of you. Separated, sanctified, filled with your Spirit, Lord, I'm hungry for more of you. When it seems you just can't hold on, and from your voice there is no sound, He sees your heart and your desire to live for Him. Just say, Jesus, please forgive me. Holy Spirit, come prepare me to be the bride the Father wants for me to be. Separated, sanctified, filled with your Spirit, Lord, I'm hungry for more of you. Hungry for more of you, Jesus. Hungry for more of you. Separated, sanctified, filled with your Spirit, Lord, I'm hungry for more of you. Separated, sanctified, filled with your Spirit, Lord, I'm hungry for more of you. Lord, I'm hungry for more of you. More of you.